Blog Talk Radio.
Of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another very interesting show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click tag and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the May 6, 2023 ballot, the mayoral and the city council races. We're talking about who's running, what we know about the candidates, basically how the council could possibly change, and new changes to the application that probably prevented some people from running. So tonight, to join the conversation, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Again, that number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. That saying, Let's Talk Fort Worth. All right, y'all, let's see if we can get my phone lines open. I was struggling a few minutes ago with some technical problems, so we're going to see if we can't figure out what's going on. We understand that the phone towers in the area have been being worked on, so considering what happened last week, we know anything is possible, but we're going to try to work through it. That's it. Some shakeups came today in the city election. Yeah, I'm really struggling here. And we were very surprised, but very excited to see that Adrian Smith entered the race to run for mayor. So tonight I can't wait to open his phone line so that I can work out these problems and congratulate him on having the guts to jump in that race. And we're going to see if we can do all we can to help him win this race. Okay, y'all, I think I'm in. Oh, let's see. Give me 1 second and we should be there. And like magic, I think we're in. All right. Good evening, Adrian. Good evening, Christopher. How y'all doing?
Good evening. Good evening. Let's talk Fort Worth.
Listen, you are the talk of Fort Worth tonight, Adrian Smith. You know what, y'all? I'm not even lying. Adrian didn't even tell me he was going to do that. As a matter of fact, he told me he was going a totally different direction. So how long have you been contemplating this, Adrian, and what made you get the guts to say I'm going to do it?
Well, you know what, Carrie, after I gave it, it was some gave it some prayer, some thought, some consideration, some time. It wasn't something I just, you know, woke up and said I wanted to do, but I really thought about it. You know, I've been thinking about everything that's been going on. And you know what? I said, you know what? I already got my feet wet once, you know. I got an opportunity to learn the process. Got, you know, that first run, it was an opportunity. Now, I really was running. I want people to understand I wasn't just doing it, just to do it, you know. That's truly where my heart was. That's truly where my heart is. So I got that experience, got the understanding of how it works. You know, I was grateful for that opportunity, that last run, and I'm forever grateful for the people who voted for me, you know. I'm grateful for the people who voted. And then this time around, I said, you know what? They changed. Let's just start with the district maps, Carrie. You know, it was a reasoning behind that. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
They changed the district maps. They added two new districts. They made it clear what they wanted to do. And they basically been doing what they wanted to do. So to sum it all up, I said, you know what? I felt slighted. You know what? I felt slighted the way Como was taken out of District 3. I'm truly, and I wasn't involved in the discussion when it came to the maps, you know. I know it was going on, but I didn't understand how serious it was. And then when that came about, how they cut Como out of and basically just said, you know what, we're just gonna put you over there with the minorities or people who represent y'all. And I took gripe with that, you know. And I let Michael Crane know. He's heard from me numerous times. I said, you are the one who convinced these so-called leaders over here to do that. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, you know. So I said, you know what? Hey, it's why not? You know, I believe I can fly. So just kept it on the wraps. You know, I thought about it. I kept it on the wraps for a reason.
You did.
You know.
And,
I realized, you know what? I'm gonna drop the bomb. But you said something. You said, Adrian. You said whatever you do. You said something a day ago. Try to get it in soon because. You said, you know, how things can transpire. So I was attempting to do it yesterday, and it didn't happen. But I already had everything wrote down and mapped out how I want to do it. And when I got off work this morning, I finished the process. And here we go. But I feel like I can do it, you know. I feel like I can do it. And let me say this. This is the beginning of the campaign. So people going to hear this from me once these little events start up. My campaign is not a campaign of promises. My campaign is a campaign of purpose.
Ooh.
It's a campaign of purpose. So,
ooh, that's good right there.
And I'm going to leave it right there. But thank you, Carrie.
No,
like you said, I told you gave me the shout-out early, and I truly appreciate you because we maintained a friendship and communication since that last. And I don't take that for granted. I said, wow, you know, and I appreciate the platform and all the, your critiquing and your truth, and you know, I appreciate all that, you know. So thank you.
And y'all, anybody who knows me knows that if I like you, I'm going to do everything I can to help you. I mean, seriously. And Adrian, a backstory on this, y'all, when I was the last time everybody was running, which was 2021, I did so many shows on that election. And Adrian's number, for some reason, was not correct on the paperwork. And I tried reaching him multiple times and was not able to. And when I finally did reach him, we've been friends ever since. And so that's the backstory, that I was really trying to get everybody I could that was running for office. And there were so many people running last time. And I was trying to get them all on the show. And Adrian was one of the people that was hardest to find. And so that's how that went. But I'm so proud of you. I must admit this. I'm so proud of you, because literally I was sitting in my, like, chair one day thinking, you know, this is not going to go down right. I mean, if somebody needs to get in this race, but nobody was stepping up. Of course, I didn't have the guts to do it, but I was thinking somebody needs to get in here. And no slight on the other young black man that's running, Ken Bowen, and I invited him to come tonight, by the way. But I feel like Adrian has been following the process really closely. I think he's retaining what he needs to retain to everything. Of course, you're not going to get from sitting in the audience, but I believe you're smart enough and articulate enough to take the information once given to you, if elected, and run with it. And so for that, I'm like blown away, that, you know, because I think you'll do well if the people give you an opportunity to sit in that seat.
Thank you, Harris. Thank you.
Chris, don't you feel the same way?
Yes. I will just sit here and say this, that this is exactly a blessing. This is what I've been praying for.
Yeah.
The Panther City Revolution, I call it. But, you know, I haven't met Adrian personally, but I just got into this about a year ago, you know, watching things happening via the internet and just bouncing around town, a few ways that I bounce around, and I got to know things, and I watched Thomas Torlincosi. I mean, this, yeah. I think Adrian and Thomas they really have the grace. They have the grace, fortitude, and virtue to really, really have an impact. And I'm not taking anything away from the other people's, you know, but style-wise, the way that I see when Adrian steps up to that podium when he comes, I mean,
yeah.
I'm a different kind of guy. I'm leaning into it. You know, I mean, that's why I don't step into that, because I'm kind of a writer guy, and I just, if I get up on a mic and like I said, if I have some kind, I would be probably worse than Bob. I would have been throwing something at Maddie if she turned around and got her finger in my face like she did him. Just
you
saying.
Know what?
But so that's why I kind of lean off of that. But I'm not knocking Bob down. I love him, you know.
No.
But I'm propping up my brother Adrian, because I really do feel I've seen him step up to that podium, and he knows how to jive it just right to where he gets to the edge, he gets his point across, and you know they're up there fuming, but they can't come back because he's got it locked down on him.
Oh yeah, when
and
he does
that
little prayer. When he does that little prayer at the beginning, it's, watch out, y'all.
Yeah.
Watch out, y'all. Here he comes. I see Bob has raised his hand. We're going to congratulate him on jumping in the race. Good evening, Bob. How are you? Bob Willoughby, that is y'all. Good evening.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey. We can.
Okay. I just want to say I've been watching three for Adrian to get in there, and I even told you, Kerry, the other day. I said, you know, even if Adrian don't want to run, we'll say no. I'll pay $100 just to put him on the ballot so Crane don't go uncontested. Just
yes,
for that, I'll almost be willing to do that. And I'll be the guy the day he popped up in the mayor spot. And I said, what? How do you do it? We're looking over here, and he pops up over there. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Adrian, what you can say in any of these forums, and you go to them, I think what you can say, anybody else running, one of the questions they don't never ask and they should ask and get it out, ask them, everybody that's competing against you, how many council meetings have they been to? Because I know you've been down there quite a bit. There's so many people sitting on that staff of that are council members, never even been to a meeting. And that's something we need, people that go to the meetings, start learning what's going on, and before they run. So I'm glad to see you're on there, and I'm glad to see you giving a go, and I'll help you as much as I can. Also, keep in mind, if this doesn't work this time, whatever, take a page from Chris Nettles' book. I like what he did. He did pretty good, too. He ran for mayor and then came back for council two times, and boom, he was in. So just keep that in mind, maybe. But not to take away. I mean, Maddie's so bad.
No, you're good, Bob.
Okay,
just,
but anyway,
I just want to say another guy.
I appreciate the I cracked up. This show's worthwhile listening to. You hear what you said about bad as Bob. That's pretty good. I enjoyed that. Thank you. That made my night right there. Yeah, that makes it worthwhile. So I'm going to let you guys get it and listen in, okay? Unless anybody's got any questions, you can let me know.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
You know
Thanks
what?
For taking the call.
I will say they changed something on the ballot this time, and I don't know if you caught – well, not on the ballot. Let me take that back. The application. Did you all catch that they changed it? Basically, if you had any prior felony convictions, that basically you had to either provide proof of a judicial clemency, an executive pardon, or a restoration of rights.
Now,
so
that's news that should have been out, Carrie. That's news that should have been out way ahead of time. Let people know, because that is a good thing. Some of these people go in, they come out, they did their time, okay? But yet they can't run for office or anything, you know? So that let them in, right? Is what you're talking about? They changed the rule?
And I verified this with Jeanette Goodall today, y'all. If y'all don't know who that is, that's your city secretary. And basically that, I said, well, Jeanette, you know, when did this come up? She claimed it came out in 2021. And she said it came from the state. So I said, well, seeing a lot of people didn't catch this until now, can they submit their application and then work on that condition? And she says, no, I will not accept an application unless they can provide that proof at the time of application. And
yeah.
I was like,
how? Yeah. Well, it's a lack of knowledge that loses battles, and that's what, you know, they do there, not telling us anything, you know?
I think if you all look at it, they understand the political structure. They understand who would enter these races if they had given the opportunity. And most times it's people of people who are considered less or we consider minorities. You know how they put us in these categories. Those are the ones who truly fit the bill to serve us. But that's what they do. They put all these barriers in place. They put all these barriers in place because they know these are the very people that everyday people can relate to. If they just give them, if they're given an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? So they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing.
They want to discourage you from running.
Oh, Carrie, let me say one thing real quick on your show here. If anybody's running, you got coming on in the future or whatever. If they want it, which I was going to give it to, I was going to give it to Adrian. I was already set to give this to Adrian, but he messed me up here. But I've got the. Remember, I pulled the expenditures for each council district that ran, you know, seven and that, or Bex, and there's some interesting stuff, Cranes, which no one's running against. But anybody on your show that does pop up that's running, if they want that information, they can have it from me, okay, on their council member expenditures, if they want it. Mm-hmm. They're welcome to it. Just contact me. I'll make them a hard copy just for the cost of the print, you know, the copies, instance, she, whatever. But I forgot. I just want to mention that. So anybody you deal with the next several months, if they want that information, it costs me to get it, and I got it. And I'm gonna sit back and listen in, okay?
Okay, thank you, Bob.
I won't interrupt you anymore here. All right. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, one thing I noticed that several of these races, and don't get me wrong, I don't think they completely updated everything that went down today, because I know in 11, Antonio Twin Harris submitted his paperwork. So I know that's not updating on that race. So I don't believe everybody is showing. But what we do know in some of these races, it appears that some of these people are uncontested. We know that Carlos Flores in 2 appears to be uncontested. We thought Peyton Jackson was going to enter that race. Whether she did or not, it would have been absolutely last minute. and it didn't show up as of 5 o'clock today. We know Michael Crane, the incumbent in 3, is showing to be uncontested. And then Chris Nettles over in 8, District 8, is showing to be uncontested. Do y'all have any questions about, like, I'm just confused, like, that nobody's getting in these races. Is this typical, or is it just, like, I'm missing something?
No, it's not difficult, Kerry. Go back to 2021, I'll go back to what you just said. What Miss Goodall said, she said this change happened in 2021, right?
Okay.
Well, we know what happened in 2021, right? I was calling it the voter flood, but it really was the candidate flood when all the districts were oversaturated. Well, not I'm going to say oversaturated because I want to, when all the districts had people in them running. And they were full on, you know, they was at, you know, they were full. So it makes me wonder, you said it's changed in 2021. Y'all saw, you know, because it was some people who got through. It was a individual. You remember that individual? I didn't remember his name. I think he was in 9. Remember, he got called out on issue.
Yeah. That was in District 9.
They were playing dirty. Remember, they were playing dirty, see? Mm-hmm. So she said it's happened in 2021. It must have happened. They must put this in the work. So she just basically told on herself, you know, not herself, but she just basically told on the city. So to let you know, they've been having this ready for us.
I think she claimed it, and I did not look it up, and I apologize, y'all. But I think she said it came out of like Austin, like, or, you know, or it's like a federal deal or a state deal. So it wasn't just the city, if I remember her correctly. Where she said that, you know, this came out. She quoted some laws that she said. So it's actually a law, she's saying.
I don't think it changed anything to do with what the requisite, the qualification or the disqualifications. I think what we're looking at here, I think the verbiage is different. What you put out there, the verbiage is different. But definitionally, I think the disqualifying things are the same. I think the factor that it comes into play is this thing, and I think this is something that's coming up on the heels of the Crystal Mason thing. They got to come out here and they got to start telegraphing. And they got to put it as a disclaimer, and they got to make you, they're trying to put it on you. So, you know, what I think before what it was is if you ran, it was the onus or the obligation to discover somebody that's not eligible was on, like, the registrar or, like, who that lady that you were – I don't know what position it would be – the election commission. That they were supposed to do the background check or this, that, whatever, that really anybody could run and it was up to. But now what I think that they're sitting there saying, it's a spook tactic, you know, because there's people there. It's just like with the thing that we're talking about with Crystal Mason and it's a spook tactic. And it goes across racial lines. Yes, it's more, you know, but that's what I think that we're all talking about here. It's, I think that they put it on the candidate to make sure that they do the work that the state had to do before by back-checking things. That's what I think the only difference is.
You know, it may be, because I asked somebody about it, and they, you know, they said that they thought a lot of people weren't running this time because, remember, in 2021, Betsy Price was coming out. She says, I'm not running again because she's going to eventually run for the county judge. So, but she didn't tell us at that time, but she said she wasn't going to run again. And then we know that Shingleton said he was in District 7. He said, I'm going to retire. But then we know that Ann Zeta, who was in 9, and Bird, who was in 3, said, okay, we're both going to run for mayor, since Betsy Price is jumping out of the race. So basically, that was just like 4 different seats that were automatically changing over. You know, so you had 3 district seats. And then you had the mayor's race that was automatically going to get new people in it. Unfortunately, Bird didn't win and Zeta didn't win and Shingleton retired and you know, Betsy Price retired. And so we saw a whole lot more people entering the race. But with this particular time, I'm just surprised that, you know, three particular races, you know, where the incumbent, you know, is going uncontested. I mean, it's not like, you know, people haven't complained about, you know, different things that have gone on with the council, but mm-hmm. yet and still nobody steps up to the plate and run. So, you know.
Hey, Carrie, I was thinking about this, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it real quick, too. It doesn't look like Taylor's going to come out of the gate at the bell.
Wow.
Right. And I'm going to say something about that. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm very disappointed in Taylor Monday because there were other people interested in that race, but he put up an interest in the race and said he was going to, even submitted his treasurer report. So a lot of people, out of respect for him, believed that he was going to be in that race. And so at the 5 o'clock this evening, I am as shocked as anybody that Taylor Mundick is not in that race, because he assured me as late as a couple of days ago that it was a lie that he was not running, because someone had said that he wasn't going to run. And he said, that's a lie. I am going to run. So I'm very disappointed if he did not submit his ballot by 5 o'clock today. I really
And Carrie, yeah. I was thinking more or less, you know, even though we had uncontested races, you know, mm-hmm. I want to take a page out of Mr. Pianke's book. I'm going to let Mr. Pianke know, I've been listening to a lot of things he's been saying. I've been memorizing. He said, you all, you know, you can get, you know, I'm not, and I'm quoting it wrong, but if you're having problems with your candidate, you know you got the power of the recall. So for all of those in within those particular districts, if you feel like your candidate is not the person for the position, we got the power of the recall. And another thing, okay. I say, our focus now has to be not only trying to get to the victory, not get to the victory line, but these new council members, whoever's elected, we got to let them know, we got to focus our energy on them, not to be influenced, to remind them you are an individual. You are collective when it comes to making decisions, but you're still an individual. Do not be mm-hmm. influenced by the fact that some of these people say, well, you got to learn this and learn that. No. If you're not illiterate, so you can understand. As long as you're not, you can read, write, and understand. If you can read, you can write, you can understand, you can comprehend. So we need to make sure we don't lose focus of the newly elected, you know, in the new districts. I mean, that's what, let me put, I'm sorry, the new districts. Those are the ones, because we're going to need those when it comes to this vote, how the voting goes. That's going to determine a lot how the vote goes. You know, it's, what is it now? 11 districts, so it's going to be a what? Yeah. Seven, what's the majority?
No, I think it's 10 districts, right?
Is it 10
Remember,
districts and then the mayor?
Right, make 11. Is that how it goes?
So how would?
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm with you. I'm learning.
Right.
Still learning.
Right, right.
So how would the vote go, Carrie?
We started at two, district two, not district one. Right?
Gotcha.
And
you're
to,
right. You're right, Carrie. Yeah. Right. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How
would the voting go then? It would be like a 7-5. What a 7? No, no, not a 7. Neither.
Six?
We just had a 6. Okay.
Wouldn't 6 be majority out of 11?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, 6 would be. Yes, ma'am. You're right. 6 would be. Yes, it'll be a majority. Right.
Yeah. So you're breaking quorum now at 6 and not 5.
Right.
Anybody who's paying attention to what the quorum is, it will be 6 now as opposed to 5. So in order to get anything done on the council, it's going to take 6 votes, not 5, like we currently have. Right. But you were saying what, Chris?
What are the council members making? What is their compensation? Because I was listening to the Bob Sanders thing yesterday.
What's the salary you're going to be going for, Adrian?
I believe it's $54,000 a year.
No.
$54,000 for the mayor?
No, the mayor makes $29,000 and the council makes $25,000.
Okay, well, hey. Listen. Well, whatever. Listen, I want people to know that, hey, I'm not chasing the bag. Hey, that's why.
No, I'm not. I was just surprised because I was under the impression that it was up to 60 or 70, something like that. I, you know, especially for the mayor. I was just saying, but no, that's fine, because that's the thing that I'm sitting here saying that people don't understand, and what they make it a big. And I'm not taking anything away from the honor of being in that position and the duty that you have, but what I sit here and say is that what people, the mayor and the thing that people, all of this, they got to have these lawyers. They're trying to make people think that you got to have these lawyers with this, all of this experience and resume is good, but that experience and that resume and that connection that you got, that's what matters is your judgment and your character, you know, and judgment and your character, because what people don't understand is that the mayor and the city council, they have staff everywhere. If you're confused about something, then you burn the midnight oil and you call. You got all kinds of people that are paid. You got Cook. I mean, he gets paid big bucks. And, I mean, you can call him up and have him brief you in. He works for you, you know. And so that's what I would just sit there and say, that if you got the character and the motivation to be a leader and to set an example and have an impact on change, then, you know, stop thinking that it's a big deal, because you just go get in there and you learn as you go. That's what they all do, you know. But I'm tired of this. I'm really tired of this pattern of, we got Maddie Parker, who worked in Austin and then comes. Well, she started out at the Texas Land and Cattle. Her dad was an attorney, and then she goes to Austin and works for Craddock, and then she comes to work for Kay Granger, and then Kay Granger bumps her up and lets her become working for Betsy Price, and then Betsy Price bows to the side because she, you know, the little shuffle this and shuffle that, and then, okay, well, I'll hand you this. That's baloney. We need outside. We need common class people with character. That's what we need running.
I agree with you, and I wish I could find his number. I spoke to a very intelligent Hispanic man the other night for hours, and his name was Fernando. I forgot Fernando's last name, but he's very involved in politics over in the Hemp Hill area. And he said a lot of things that I agreed with, and then some other things I wasn't in agreement with. But he felt like, you know, whoever ran for city council needed to be educated, you know, have a college degree and this, that, the other. And my problem with that is, I was thinking to myself, but so many of them on the council right now have degrees and they're making poor decisions. So I don't know that a degree is going to be the deciding factor that makes a good council person. You see what I'm saying? Because if it was just about being degreed, you got several attorneys up there. You know, I mean, so one even doctor up there. And so they made some really bad decisions for the city, within this last 2 years that they've been there. So I don't know that I agree with Fernando, but I wish I could find his number, because he was such an informed person about the process. But he was very opinionated. I like that. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he didn't want. But I was just I was just very shocked. That he thought, but he said something that I agree with too, though. He said a lot of these people don't realize how important sitting on these committees are. And I realized what he was saying was, a lot of these people pay attention that they put on council are people who have been groomed through sitting on those boards. But we notice that they don't appoint everybody to a board. As a matter of fact, since this group has been in there, they've appointed very few people to the board. Are y'all paying attention? I'm just saying. So, but he brought that point up, and I realized that most of the people like Alan Blaylock and others, Crane, you know, those people left that on board.
And you know, Carrie, they don't. It's like Carrie, you know, they don't. You said something. It's like they don't encourage it, or they think about it, y'all. If they are appointing people, I'm sure these individuals have done something to contribute something to them, you know what I'm saying? They openly praise people, they're not just openly praising people, you know what I'm saying? When they're using that council space to openly praise people, trust me, them individuals,
they're letting them know, hey, I'm looking out for you. You know what I'm saying? Now,
mm-hmm.
what you saying that, Carrie, I was against sitting on boards. You know what I'm saying? But then again, mm-hmm. I say, hold on. The only way you can affect change if because these boards are not being, they need, it needs to be some accountability on the boards as well. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It needs to be some accountability on, because when things go awry, if you got a council member on there, you know what I'm saying? It kind of more or less, I think it leaves room for less accountability. So that's why I was kind of more or less like, I don't know if I want to deal with these boys, because I'm about accountability. If you do mm-hmm. something, you're going to have to, because we'll be holding to the people. We'll be holding to the taxpayers. We'll be holding to the people who make this city what it is. That's who we'll be holding to. You know what I'm saying? Not boards. Not the boards. Not the things that can enrich us. So that's what it's all about. These boys is just another backdrop to enrich themselves. You know, that's why they don't really do no fussing about the pay. I'm gonna say this, Carrie. I went to that event, right?
Okay.
It was hosted by the Fort Worth Report. Yes. So look here. Let's talk Fort Worth. The Fort Worth Report in the Fort Worth Weekly. Thank you, Bob Willoughby, because he got me more interested in that. Those three entities I really love because you all keep it, y'all keep it 100. Y'all don't straddle the fence. Y'all let it tell it how it is. Woo, woo, woo. Now, one of the individuals on the panel, she said she ran for council. She made a statement. She said, well, she went in about the pay. They should be getting more, you know. She said, it's a lot of people who probably would run, but because of the pay, they're this, that, or the other. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, but why does it got to be about the pay? You know what I'm saying? The mm-hmm. staff is who helps the council to be competent. The staff mm-hmm. of these various departments, they're the ones who are really making things happen. You know what I'm saying? The council mm-hmm. They're just the face. They're just the voices. They're just the ones who decide on things. But the staff, we can't forget about the staff, you know, which is the body. You know, they make the wheels run too, you know. So
yeah,
I want people to know, don't get caught up on the money thing, man. That's you're missing.
Hey, so you were in that room, Adrian?
Yeah, I was there.
I wasn't there, but I was watching it. I just wanted to ask you, because at the very end, I thought that little thing was going to come to blows with Bob Ray and that dude that was pushing him off.
That was so disrespectful. That was so disrespectful.
I know it was, but I was like,
oh my God.
What?
Well, Bob was cool. Bob Ray was cool about it. He kept his composure.
Yeah.
But that guy used it.
Can y'all enlighten the rest of us as to what happened? And Bob Willoughby wants back in, but can y'all enlighten the rest of us as to what happened that I'm missing?
Okay, so basically, they started taking questions, right? They started taking questions. And Bob Ray sounded, he's real witty. He was taking shots.
Wow.
He was taking shots. And tell Carrie where she can watch that, Chris, if you can, because I told Carrie it was being recorded, so she can watch it. But Bob Ray was taking shots, Carrie. He was taking shots. He was taking a lot of shots. I ain't gonna lie, he was taking a lot of shots at the former mayor. He was kind of throwing some slugs at her.
My favorite one was the, I don't know what his last name is, but they were calling him Alex, that bald white dude who was standing closest to Bob Ray. Boy, he lit it. He lit it up pretty good.
Oh yeah, the gentleman that used to work. Okay, Carrie. So basically, the last question they took, this gentleman, he got up. He you know, everybody was acknowledging Black history. He got up. He got to speaking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bob let him know we're trying to wrap it up. So he was speaking about the past, this, that, or the other. But as he was speaking about the past, he went into the present. And see, I have respect for Ann. Ann is cool. She came in and acknowledged. Mm-hmm. She cool people. I like her vibes. He took it over himself. He took some shots at her. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
he took some shots at her. Bob was trying to get the microphone from him. He kept putting his hand, pushing like, he wasn't being hard, but he was a big dude. So it didn't take much to just stick his hand out there. He just stick his hand out there and kind of holding Mr. Sanders off. He was holding, he did it like three or four times. And then they finally got control. Everything finally came to an end. But more or less, some of the speakers, they got up and they was kind of going in at the mayor. That's what they were doing. They was more or less bringing up, you know, racial, you know, things of race, you know, and they were kind of going in at it. But I'm going to say this, Carrie, what you always said about Mayor Price.
Yeah.
She didn't back Mayor Price. That woman, she is solid. She held hers down. She didn't let nobody. Yeah, she was on the panel. She was on the panel.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, Chris, please, if you – what did you watch it on, Chris? So, Carrie, I want Carrie to see
it. I got
it
on YouTube. I'll send it to her after we're done.
Okay.
I'll find it.
I'm gonna check it out. Y'all, Bob Ruby wants back in. We're going to ask Bob to sit still and not keep jumping on and off this line and just hang out with us tonight. All right, Bob, you back up.
Okay, Mo?
Yes, you
Carrie?
Were.
All righty. Yep. I was just going to say, if your lines light up a lot, don't worry about taking my call. You don't have to. I'm not that important. But I had a couple things I wanted to touch on real quick. Mondick,
okay.
If he doesn't sign up, he has been showing up at council meetings. We've seen him down there, so we'll see, okay? The other thing, the salary.
Sign up now. If he hasn't signed up by 5 o'clock, it's too late
well,
to
we'll
sign
know Monday,
up.
Right? We'll know Monday
right.
when it comes
mm-hmm.
out on Monday,
right.
I think. So, and the salary is, like you said, 25 for the council, 29 for the mayor. And when I called, God, I can't remember which one was in seven some time ago, but his name. But anyway, I called to find out his salary was 25. His aide, he paid $50,000 to the aide. And like one person was tapping on there pretty good. The council mayor doesn't have to be that bright. Just get a good staff around you. Pay the money to the people that is good around you and see that they do their job. That's what you do. But anyway, what it adds up to for these two more council members at the end of the day, though, is almost $250,000 a year. Is what's going to come out of taxpayers' money for two more council members that probably won't answer questions unless it's age. Well, he's going to be the mayor, so we won't have that problem. Anyway, but anyway, two more council members that right now we don't need them. But anyway, it's a big scam. But at the end of the day, it's going to be around $200,000 a year because their expenses, the room, all that stuff, it all adds up. And then I want to thank someone on there, I don't know the name, for the trail about Maddie Parker going down from the ranch to the Kate Granger and down the trail there. I'll check that on your podcast. I'm going to use that in my next video, I think.
Yeah.
I like that. I appreciate that information. A recall. Oh, man, we got to do something. Even after this election, no matter what, we got to get people together because you can't get them out at 20%. That's what you're going to need for a recall. You can't get 20% nothing. It's got to be down to 1%. We're putting in two council members at 1%. Why not remove them at 1%? Then a recall will be feasible to do, and it'll make them behave because they could be gotten out then. The last thing, and I'll get... I'm going to be a little news reporter in and out. I'll pop in and out with this and get off because I talk too much. Northern Crane, I stopped by his real estate today to make sure that was his over on Hemp Hill. It's Michael Crane. I stopped in, and the guy says, well, can I help you? I just said, does Michael Crane have this place? He says, yes, the council member does. I said, that's all I need to know. And I turn around, and he says, is there anything else I can help you with? I said, yeah, you can run for office and kick his butt out if you want to help. Oh. Otherwise, I just want to know this is his place because after the election, I got money. He's not off the hot seat with me. I can put signs over there by him, and I will pester the hell out of him legally. He's a crook. He's nothing but a freaking crook. He's not going to use that business and council to benefit himself, and that's what he's doing. As a council member, he's getting more business. So we'll go after him. Right now, my money's tied up running for election right now. But afterwards, you know, I'll still be going after Crane there. Okay? That's my latest report there. So, Carrie, I'll shut up again. Let you guys get back to it, okay?
Well, let me ask you, Bob. What, you know, you've run how many times now?
Well, this will be the fifth time, but you can't really say that. The first time I ran was a trial run. I wanted to see if I could really do the job before I did it, you know? And that's what the first 2 years was, just a trial, and it was something. But second time I tried to run, they kicked me off the ballot for not meeting a requirement that was not on the list. So they asked me to do an impossible thing. I couldn't do it, so they kicked me off the ballot. So you can't count that one, really. But it was still exposure. And then the third one would be what I'd call my first run. And then the second one. So this would be actually my third really run in my mind is where I'm at right now. And that. And the last one I didn't do too bad. And this time I'm going all out with the billboard, half-page ad in Fort Worth Weekly, just mailing out 5,000 leaflets today asking for donations to remove Gina. I figured better than asking money from me, I'm going to ask money to remove Gina, you know. So, but I'll see if I get anything from that. And matter of fact, I don't know if my button works on my website. So if anybody wants to donate any money over there, go over and donate and let me see if it works. No,
Bob and I differ. Let me ask you, Bob. you and I differ on how many people should be in a race. I told Bob I think the fewer people, the better. Bob says the more people, the better. Now, Bob, explain that in your race, if the more people
well,
are
let me
in
explain
race,
that, and that's good. You got some people on here to give us a point, because I could be wrong as well. I'd love to hear other people's point of view in case I'm wrong. Well, Cindy always told me I was wrong, so let's see. The way I see this is that, like, the preacher is running against me, McKinley, and he's a really nice guy. Now, when him getting into the race, if it's just me and Gina right now, it'd be the supporters for me, supporters for her, and whatever I can raise, whatever she can get, okay? Now, when McKinley gets into the race too, he's going to bring some more people in to vote that would not vote at all because they know McKinley, okay? They know the pastor they like, and they're going to go down the poll. Might be their first time to ever vote. He's never ran before. They know him. His family might do it. You know, he's never been to a council meeting either, I don't think. So I hate to hit him with that, but I'm going to have to. I hope God forgives me here. But anyway, I got a pastor to go against. This is not fair. But anyway, that's what my point of view is, that the more votes you can get in the deal, the better chance you can have for a runoff. And that's what I want. If Gina can't get 50%, then the head one will go head and head. You know, and I think I'd have a good chance against her if I ever got to that one spot to make that stand. I think I'd pick up everything and do it, I believe. But we need all those extra votes because it's hard to get people to go down and vote. They're so brainwashed not to vote in a local election. You know, 90% of the people aren't voting. You know, I've got 40,000 registered voters.
Where I differ with Bob is he automatically thinks an incumbent comes in with so many votes. I don't understand that because people change their minds. So I'm trying to figure out how does somebody come into the race with automatic votes?
Well, there's not that many, Carrie, because we're working so low. If it was at 30%, it would be low, but we're at 10%. At that level, you can keep 4% or 5% of the whole population of crooks under your thumb, and that's who's voting. You're at such a small level. That's how they're able to do it. They're working like in a small town city level. Now, if we had 30% or 40% of the people voting, I don't think they could manage it then. That wouldn't happen, but it's just so low. You got people like them, that category of crooks, birds flock together, and they pull them together, and they got a good thing going on.
So, Bob, does that percentage you speak of, is that total citywide, or is that per district? We need 30%
well, you know,
of each district.
You know, you can break it down. It's a little bit different. The west side does a little higher, I found, than the east side, because we don't vote as much. But I usually use that as just a general. I mean, what I really say, you know, I know one thing. We're way under 30%, and that's low. 30 is low. That would be low. And we're under 30. And a lot of people, like they're saying the other night at the meeting, your mayor and council has more power over people than the president does. And that's not a lie. That's a fact. And your vote counts when you're here. So we got to get that. And they don't want that. It's the best kept secret. We got to start convincing people how important first to take care of home before you even look at the presidency. If we clean up our homes across the country, I think the presidency would clean up. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know, but that's too far. I've got enough just in my district to give my ulcers. So I didn't want to think too far ahead. You know, I've got enough right
but
there.
I can go real quick, try to be as short as I can. A history lesson. What you're talking about, that whole scenario with more candidates or less candidates in a race, okay? This comes from when our Constitution started, the race for president was a straight race, okay? And the first place winner won the presidency, and the second place winner won the vice presidency. And then that, you know, it was beautiful. But what you had was a few years later, as soon as the Bill of Rights passed, they were worried about the masses. They were worried about the common class people upsetting the status quo. And I'm not being anti-American. I'm just being straight up, you know. But the reason that the reason that we've been enculturated to think that we've got a problem with so many people in one race is because us as the common class people, as the consenting, you know, the people who consent to government, they've been down with this master narrative that's come from the partisan politics. Because with a two-party system or when you have two parties or three parties or however many, when you're doing a partisan-based political system, then, yeah, that becomes a very big problem. But if we just had an objective issues, objective facts, objective truth politics, okay, then the more the, it's a much more beautiful thing running for election and stuff. If you have 10, 15 people, you know, it's more, it's accessible, it's inclusive. But the reason that we get into the, all of these analytics and dynamics with being scared and apprehensive about too many, oh, they're going to steal from this person, that's just because of the Republican, that dichotomy that they got, that's establishment, and we got to get rid of that. So I agree with Bob. I would sit there and say that if we can get a breakthrough, it might not happen overnight, it might not happen after one or two races, but if we can constantly keep getting to where we shoot, then every single race the next time around has at least five people running, then we're going to bust up the establishment and turn the soil.
Wow. Y'all listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. And tonight, we're talking about the upcoming May 6th election. We are talking about who's running, what we know about the candidates, the new application or the addendum to the application that deals with those who have been convicted of felonies and whether or not they qualify to be on the ballot if they cannot meet certain conditions. Talking about all that tonight. If you've got a question or a comment, the call-in number is 515-605-9321. Then press 1 once connected. Y'all, what role do you believe this new election task force will play that was put in place by the new judge, the new Tarrant County judge, that is, Tim O'Hare, and the new DA, Mr. Soros, and our sheriff. So what role will that play in this election? Anybody got any ideas?
I think that whole thing was a sniper. I think that whole thing was a sniper move against Deborah. That's it.
See, are you serious? So you think it's a big, old conspiracy theory?
I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I know that there's irregularities and things that happen out there, but it's a balanced thing. And the whole thing was, the other aspect of it too, just take Deborah. I know that that's kind of, that people have, I don't know her, you know, and,
right.
And so I don't know. But I do know that the whole thing that happened with Gentry Cotton and Wayborn and the whole scandal that happened like 2 months before this last election had to do with her. And
ooh.
I think it was unfair that the way that played out. If somebody had facts, then it should have been investigated. They shouldn't have been playing old conflict, all of that BS. So I'm just like, Alex, Wayborn, BS.
Really? I thought it was strange the way it was handled. Yeah, but I think that, you know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it for the last time. I just think Deborah should have said something, you know, to say, listen, y'all lying on me, you know, and if you got facts, prove it. I think that's where I would come from. And I think the fact that, you know, she never spoke up for herself probably added a little fuel to it where she could have put it to bed had she just said, hey, that's a lie. And, you know, I dare you to give me some facts that, you know, puts me at the scene of any of this. I think that would have been a better thing had it happened. But this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this about this task force. If I was somebody, we're talking about people who are in the race now. Mr. Bowers wants to join us. So, absolutely, we'd love to have him. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, I never really have. But right, the task force. I think if I was somebody who was in this race and who had contemplated cheating, I think I wouldn't let her make an example out of me. I'm just saying. I'd be like, well, you listen, if I was thinking about it, I think I'd forget about it. And I'd say, well, if I win, I win. And if I don't, I don't. You know, but I would not chance at all going to jail and everything that comes with that if, in fact, I was thinking about it. That was just me. They would not make an example out of Carrie Hines, that part. And I would not in any way be willing to sacrifice my freedom to be made an example out of, because I think people going to be snitching. I'm just going to tell you now, if I knew somebody was cheating, I'll be like Charleston White. I'm telling on you. I just want to see if it works. So, yeah. So
But I would just go back real quick. I would just go back to what we were talking about earlier about the felony issue and this clemency and executioner. And I'm not
right.
talking about black, white. I'm not there. I know that there's that disparity there too, and it's bad. But I would just sit here and say that we need to come. We need to moderate. We need to moderate this exclusionary democracy thing going. That if somebody gets out and they get done with their probation and their parole,
I agree.
Come on, man, have some grace.
I agree.
And
now,
so,
no, that I agree with. That's different than cheating, though. I'm talking about cheating. But, no, I agree. If
but that's what I'm saying. It's just like they make this law, this whole law, the whole concept of the election, everything that the election task force is, I understand about citizenship and ID. I agree with you. I can get on that. There ain't no nothing wrong with an ID, people showing an ID, I mean,
right.
or whatever. I agree with you there. But
mm-hmm.
there are so many other things, not just with elections, but the laws. And if you look at it, if you look at the abuse of office, if you look at the whole abuse of office chapter in the penal code and everything, it's set
mm-hmm.
up to protect the establishment, because a lot of crimes that would be fraud for a civilian that wasn't in office would
mm-hmm.
be a felony. But if you were a person who was holding office and you commit fraud as an abuse of office, it's a misdemeanor.
Right.
And that's because they don't want them getting kicked off the establishment. So
okay.
you can have a misdemeanor, like O'Paxton or all of these scandals that happen. There's very few abuse of office offenses that are a felony. And it's the same thing. If you tamper with the government doc, if you do this or that, and you're if you do credit card fraud, You're committing a felony if you misuse a government fund a credit card in office. That's just a misdemeanor. That's baloney.
I agree. That's what
I'm saying. We've got a big problem. Yeah.
I agree. I believe Mr. Bowen has joined us. 817-349. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk What Works.
How you doing?
Fine. How are you? Are you Mr. Kenneth Bowen Jr.?
Yes.
Well, good evening. We understand, Mr. Bowen, that you're running for mayor. May we call you Ken?
Yeah, you call me Ken.
Okay. We understand you're running for mayor, you and Adrian Bowe. So we saw early on you jumped on the ballot really quick. I think you were the first person or the second person on the ballot. But one thing I did notice was concerning. I noticed your finance report had $0 on it. You know, Maddie Parker ran with $2 million last time, so are you concerned at all about that?
No, not concerned. It was early stages of it. It was early stages of it, because I guess I think he had, like, it was showing the early stages of financial support. I'm not really concerned about that, because you see people run with, have over $600,000, $700,000, $1 million in financial reports, but you don't really see them out there, like, supposed to be advertising-wise. Well, you don't see their signs in certain areas, so it really don't bother me. I know I've been how can I say it in a way? I've been on the head against August last year, so I've been prepared for this situation.
Okay. So, you know, when you tell us, you know, I noticed that you follow Betsy Price for a while. I believe you're a big fan of Betsy Price from what I remember. And you went to a lot of city council meetings to watch the process.
And work sessions. Uh-huh.
I'm sorry?
And work sessions. I did a lot of work sessions.
And work sessions, right. So you went to council, which Bob said he thinks that's a really big thing. So you went to the work sessions and you went to the city council meetings. Do you think that you feel prepared to be the mayor because
yeah.
you've done them?
I believe I'm the most prepared candidate, to be honest. Because I've been doing this since 2017, going to city council meetings. Even going back to 2005 when I was in middle school, going to city council meetings. So I know how actually going to study the roles, learn the position, learn about the MNCs, learn about the donor cases, and learning about the different proposals they submit to be adopted, the resolution to be adopted. So I believe I know the ins and outs of it, so, and I'm prepared for it.
Okay. Even the budget aspect of it, because they spend a lot of money down there.
My proposal is cap. We got to put the cap on the budget. We can't continue to let Dan Cook spend money on unnecessary stuff, like $250 million on the Botanic Garden. That's absurd. That's mind-blowing. That's mind-blowing. You can't – $250 million, we can allocate some of them funds to something else that we actually need in the community, like more funding for teens programs, more funding towards anything else. $250 million, that's what I'm kind of upset about. That's mind-blowing, $250 million. And they passed it on Tuesday for the master plan for the kindergarten. So that's mind-blowing.
That one got by me. I got to do my research on that. Are you okay with them spending an additional $50 million to rehab the new city council building that they were supposed to already be? I'm sorry?
Because they said $50 million plus going towards more staffing and stuff like that and other things like that. I didn't really get the backstory behind it, but I know they put $50 million on it.
They didn't say staffing. They said for the rehabilitation. I mean, rehabbing of the building. No, that ain't staffing. And if we got a $50 million staff, we don't need them.
City Hall. So why would they need additional $50 million for the City Hall? So,
well, they claim it has some flooding issues. And so they got to put a lot of barriers and, I guess, floodproofing types of things. So technically, it's a whole lot more expensive than they originally told us it was going to be.
Yes. I think they overspent. I don't know. That's David Cook. He's not budgeting the money right or something. I don't know about the old Pierce One building. I don't know too much about it. I don't know if it's the older building or anything like that. But I don't know. It's not adding up to me on a certain extent. David Cook, I tell people David Cook got a strong arm on that budget. So anything goes, I don't care what the city council says, he makes the final decision on. And people got to realize that he makes the final decision on anything when it comes to budgeting-wise and spending money on anything.
Mm-hmm. I understand. I think you. It was in one of the articles about you that you were like 31 years old or something like that.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, 31. Yes. Born and raised.
And you
born. Huh.
I was just asking because now this is just me and I'm old fashioned, so excuse me for being old fashioned. But I just kind of feel like I don't even want a preacher who's too much younger than me because I don't feel like he's been through that much. So that said, being 31, do you feel like you've been through enough in life to be the mayor?
Yes, I've been through enough. I'm born and raised Fort Worth in all my life. O.D. White High School, graduated O.D. White High School 2010. So, like I said, I've been preparing for this role almost since 2021. So, I tell people, I did the unthinkable. I did something people really don't need to do. Go learn the role as mayor. Learn what she actually does, what's going on, and be prepared for it because you got different things going on, different departments you oversee and different things like that. You got to be prepared and know what are the different things you voted on. Like you need now with the new two seats getting added, you might need six votes to get anything approved and passed. So it's different things like that, learning and actually going to learn a role, not just going to the council meetings, going to the work session, stuff is getting done at, to be honest. And going to the different board meetings and different committee meetings they have, and actually learning how city government functions and works, and what the role of the mayor is.
But you know what?
Go
ahead, Chris.
I would back that up, Terry. I mean, I'm saying that. Like I was saying earlier, it has to do. What we're understanding here is. What we're understanding is this structure that we have that bringing in these same people, this same tradition of failure, okay, over and over again. I said, I have no problem. I have no problem with somebody if they have the character, the moral, the moral character, they have the compassion, if they listen to understand the constituency, and then they deliver leadership. I mean, if you don't have to be like right now, if you're a candidate, this, that, whatever, yeah, you need to be updated. You need to get, I mean, you can step up into it, but it's just like the same thing that I'm saying with Adrian. Of course, Adrian's a little bit more mature, but anything that we can get, anything that we can get on the table, the more people that are willing to run, the more people that are willing to be gladiators against the establishment, I love it. Because it's just like he said, the only reason that that David Cook has a strong arm is because we have a bunch of weak, wimpy council
leadership.
Members and mayor.
Yes, yeah, weak leadership. I said it all the time. We don't have we have weak leadership. That starts from the top, from Maddie on down. Everybody. So Mike Moncrief, I consider him one of my biggest mentors. He told me, you're going to be a rock or you're going to fizzle out. If you're going to be a rock, you'll be a rock all the time, all day, and stick to your opinion, stick what you know to do, but or you're going to fizzle out. We have weak leadership. People scared to go against David Cook. People scared to speak out against David Cook. People are scared. At the end of the day, people don't know the mayor has to control to veto anything. Okay, what David Cook approve or city council approve, the mayor has to find a decision on everything. So people got to realize that. You got to be not scared.
The mayor.
You said it.
What we need is a mayor who has the spine to take the pen that David Cook's using to write checks, because that pen writing checks is why everybody is flocked, why David Cook is able to network his way around, get on the plane with the Bass Brothers, do all of this and all that. So what they need to do is take that damn pen away from him and then stand over his shoulder and give it to him and tell him to sign what check they say. That's what I'm saying.
Well, let me ask you a question. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, go ahead.
Or fire him.
When I think of, you know, and I thought about running myself at that, but I really didn't think I was prepared, so I didn't. But that said, I felt like I shouldn't run unless I had a plan for the homeless, unless I had a plan for the infrastructure, unless I had a plan for transportation, if I had a plan to stop the overspending, if I had a plan for how to bring down taxes, how I could deal with gentrification, or how I could basically deal with the STR issues, because the city seems to be divided about that. When you thought, or when you're thinking about running for mayor, have you thought about all those things?
Yep. Public safety is one of my biggest issues. Public transportation, fair housing, rent control, addressing the homeless rate, addressing it the proper way. We have so many solutions how to address the homeless population, but we haven't come up with a plan how to really attack the issues. Don't just build 150 units and put it in place and don't have no plan for them, for no jobs or no for no. See, you know, if they got mental illness issues or how they gonna afford the rent and stuff like that. We don't have no real solution put in place. We just give them the 150 some units and put them there and say, hey, figure it out on your own. We don't have no real solution, no plans, no plans for the issues and the problems to fix it. We don't have no plans in place. We just don't say, oh well, this is a plan we rocking with. So.
And that's real quick. We was talking about $50 million for the new city hall and the $250 million renovation, and we're talking about throwing all kinds of money at Panther Island, but nobody's wanting to talk about the fact that we have a spiking crime rate and we have a spiking homeless rate. And I'm not saying that whatever plan is the proper plan to deal with it. But why are you throwing all this money on these pet projects when you got human projects to be working on?
That's one of my biggest issues. One of my biggest plans of plan on work. We need to address the real issues, the root of the issues. And not just sweep it on the rug. We just keep on sweeping on the rug, and we're addressing the root of the issue and have real solutions for the problem. Multiple solutions, not just one solution. Multiple solutions that's gonna really fix the problem. We got the money to address, have better programs for the homeless, better programs for the youth and these adolescents that who get involved in crime and stuff like that. We need a better program, better city-funded program that's actually going to address the problem. Better resources are going to address the problem and get to the root of the issue and have a solution, multiple solutions.
Well, okay, let me ask you a question because, you know, a lot of people say, well, two black men in the race is, you know, it's just going to split the black vote. Would you consider, like, sitting down, like, with Adrian and y'all talking it out and deciding maybe whoever is the stronger candidate or, you know, run? Have you ever considered, would you consider something like that?
Yeah, that can be a consideration. That can be a consideration.
Because I know this city needs change. And I know for all of us, it's ASAP. And for all of those that's feeling that pressure right now, I think we should be open to doing whatever that needs to happen to make that happen. And I commend you for saying that because I think that's, you know, to be honest with you, 11 is the district that I'm in. And mm-hmm. there were several people who were black that were going to be running that race. And I went to those people and I said, are you, as late as this afternoon, are you going to be in that race? Because you know what? I didn't want to run against them. You know, they may have beat me. They may have not beat me. But the thought was I was trying to figure out a way where we make the city stronger. And if I believed in their candidacy, it didn't make any sense for me to run against them when, you know, we're stronger as a unit than we are divided. And so I had that conversation with a young man this afternoon, and I hope he calls in because he can verify it. We had that conversation late this afternoon about that because I absolutely wanted a good representation in 11. And I didn't want to, you know, I would have been an 8 until they did the redistricting, which then forced me into 11, and a lot of people are in that 11 district now. And so I didn't want to run against somebody that I like and I respect, so I asked them that question. And so I think that's something that's a fair question to ask, in my opinion. It's not saying anybody is better than anybody else, but it's just trying to make our city stronger, and whatever
stronger,
means.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think that's a great thing. But yeah, I think, you know, it's, I did not know that you attended work sessions. So do you learn a lot when you go to work sessions?
Yes. I recommend all of them are open to the public. You got to realize that all the meetings are open to the public. If they have like a closed meeting session, like executive session, that's closed. But all the meetings are open to the public. You can learn a lot. Some of them dealings or the conversations are done in the work sessions. Before they get to the city, to get the chambers and get talked about or addressed at city council meetings. All this stuff is done in work sessions. Every single thing, budgeting, everything is done at the work sessions. I recommend everybody go to them. I've been going to them since last year, but before they announced the redistricting. I went to all the special call redistricting meetings they had in the work session room. I was all there, so I experienced all this stuff, what's going on. So,
and I would get behind him on that, and thank you very much for informing us of that. But like what you were saying earlier, Kerry, about you want somebody that has a plan, I agree with you. I really, really do. And I'm just sitting here saying, but what we have to understand is like what we was talking. I think I would encourage Adrian and Bowens and any candidate who might be listening, I would encourage you to make transparency in government your number one priority, because what we're talking about, all the problems, you can sit here from where you stand, Kerry, and, you know, from your perspective as an outsider and make all the plans in the world you want. But then when you get up there and you get behind the desk and you see the mountain of bullshit that's going on, it's a whole different point of view. And I mean, I'm sorry. But if we get transparent, wide open transparency, we don't need state secrets in city government. And if we have wide open transparency, I'm talking about from police body cams to everything. If it ain't Privacy Act protected, then it needs to be wide open transparency. And if we have all of those resources available to us, then we can have more informed candidates. We can have people that have a plan that's going to be practical when they go and sit behind that desk. And
but you know
we
what?
Can have accountability.
But we got to figure out a way to swing the pendulum. And this is where I'm at, y'all, because listen, you know, as quiet as it's kept, obviously, my idea about the ticket has caught on. And I don't mind anything that I put out into the atmosphere. I don't mind anybody else using. That said, I absolutely think we need a multiracial ticket of people that look like our community or our city, and not just, you know, one race here, you know, or another race. We got too much of that going on now. And I think what we have to do is, once we pick that ticket, I think we need to support that ticket financially and with our time. And so I'm putting it out there that, you know, I think we need to come up with all types of fundraisers. If you don't have the money, donate your time. And if you don't have the money, there's always ways in which you can raise money, you know, through garage sales, bake sales, car washes. You know, y'all, we got to go back to our grassroots, whatever it takes. I was telling somebody today, we need to do events across the city for these candidates that we want to support, because we want a better city council. Somebody's got some noise in their background. We need to do what I want to call spare change for change. And that means if one particular day that across the city where some of these candidates will be posted up, you can just pull up and dump all your change. And so it's fair change for change. And so you never know how that can add up if you do that for a couple hours. But we got to do more to help these candidates who don't have a lot of money to buy signs, T-shirts, door knockers, you know, basically the basic stuff that you need for every campaign. And I think if we do that, we can shift this thing, because we're, every time an election comes around, we're talking about what the Fort Worth POA did. Well, you know what? They're doing it because they organize. And I think the only difference in us and them is they're organized. And I think if we decide that we're going to fund some people and their campaign, all it will take is that we get organized. And so I don't think we need to wait 2 or 3 months figuring out how we're going to do it. I think we need to start tomorrow organizing fundraisers to help people get in office who are going to bring a change to the council. So whatever that looks like, however creative, you know, you want to be, but I think everybody needs to do something. Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Because, you know, listen, let me tell y'all, I was doing some math on this, just how simple this is. If you decide you don't want to do nothing, you know, in terms of work, you still can give your money. If 20 people gave $1,000, if 1,000 people gave $20, you would be able to raise $20,000 just like that.
Yes.
If 100 people, if 200 people gave $100, you'd be at $20,000. If 100 people gave $200, you'd be at $20,000. If 50 people gave $400, you'd be at $20,000. If 10 people gave $2,000, you'd be at $20,000. You see how that goes? And so it's just really how you want to do it. But the money can be raised. It's just about everybody realizing you got to do something. If you want change, you got to get up and do something. Be a part of the process. Yeah, it's just that simple.
Yeah. I totally understand. We gotta be more organized as a people. That's what we lack that in that category. We lack organization, like organized. We're stronger together than anything. Yes. Go ahead.
I can tell you guys, Adrian, and I agree with what Kerry says. That's a big chunk. That's a big slice, half the pizza. But I can tell you, the other half is pressing flesh, man. I mean, the charisma, showing your charisma, getting your energy, getting your vibes out and because that's how Bill Clinton was. I've got a chance to meet Bill Clinton. I was in the Army, and I got to experience a lot of things when I was in the Army. But I met Bill Clinton, and a couple of times, and I'm not all about his politics, but he knew that the reason that he won wasn't so much of this. It was just that he went out there and he radiated. He pressed the flesh. When he gets out in the crowd, he don't stop. He don't take no. He slows the people. He slows his security down. He shakes hands and talks to people and listens and this, that, whatever. So you get out go to all kinds of areas, and you're running for mayor. You guys are running for mayor. Take it to Heritage Trace. Just get out there and, I mean, however you decide to do it, be creative. Go down to Cowtown, you know, walk one weekend, walk one Saturday for a couple of hours through Cowtown, whatever. I mean, Exchange Street or whatever. Get out there and press the flesh, man. That's a big deal, too.
But you know what? I'm not interested in a smooth operator. The truth be known, I'm interested in, I'd rather somebody, you know, have a stuttering problem but be sincere about it, because
right.
I don't think we want a slick Willie. I think we want somebody who's going to be able to talk about the issues, you know, and come up with solutions on how to do it. I think, in my opinion, a smart candidate would surround himself with smart people. You know, one thing, I've done this show, yeah, I'm serious, y'all. I've done this show since 2010, and honest to God, y'all would not believe my audience has always been smarter than me. I love that. I am never intimidated by people who are smarter than me because, in my opinion, if I'm the smartest person in the group, I got a weak group. So I need people who are smarter than me who can, you know, call in and give ideas. Pienek, he's a, you know, been following the show for years. He's a very smart man. And so I think what I see with this particular council right now, if you paid attention to that meeting they just had, the little retreat, a lot of what seemed to come out of it was their staff was intimidated by them because they couldn't tell them anything. So I would say to any candidate running, please humble yourself. Where if you got people in your group who are candid enough to tell you the truth, please listen. You know, please listen. Don't be so arrogant that nobody can tell you nothing. Always be open-minded, to receive it. Even just like they say, if somebody gives you some chicken, eat the meat and spit out the bone. You don't take the high horse and say that, you know, I got this all under control and I'm the boss and you ain't. I think that's how people fail.
That was another thing that came up in that forum the other day, yesterday, about the Fort Worth Way. Was there was several, a lot of the people on the panel and the people in the crowd, they were talking about the Fort Worth Way, and I forget who the black guy's name was on the end, but he articulated it very well, and he said that what it is that we've got leadership, we've had leadership for a long, 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 long time, that they come to work with an agenda. They come into office with an agenda, and they follow the script of that agenda, and they ain't listening to nobody. So that's what I'm saying. So I was surprised. I was hoping that somebody would stand up, but I think it was set up because it was a short little discussion. But I was waiting for somebody to sit there and say that the Fort Worth Way is subject to the Fort Worth POA's sway. You know,
hey,
just
Chris,
what they
Chris,
write.
Chris, I would say this. I think what hindered that time frame was the fact that they started the time. I think going forward they need to just forget waiting on people. But for one, if you're on somebody's panel, you need to be there like way. You need to be the first one there. But they started. It was scheduled for 7:30, but it started at the 8:00, so they only had an hour. I don't know if they paid for that space or it was just donated for that space was donated for that because Bob right at nine o'clock Bob was ready to cut it off, like they had to get out of that space at a certain time, you know. So
I understand that, Adrian. I do, and that may be the case, but just I mean, from my feel of it was besides the time frame. It seemed like I think that 30 minutes that was missing, I think that they was in the back conferencing about how they was going to contain, because we can't deny that the political air, what we got going on in this city is very volatile. And that's how you saw it, that last questionnaire, that kind of like that friction that was going on. It was built, it was snowballing during the whole thing. And those people on the panel, people was restrained. They were saying things, but they were scared to name names, you know. And I think it just all goes together. And I'm not trying to be I'm not trying to say that we need to be destroying it on each other and gaslighting people, but if names need to be named, I mean, so you can state all the facts you want, but if you ain't stating the name, then you just, I mean, you're cutting out the biggest part of the fact, you know?
Right.
Y'all, this is about that retreat. I mean, I'm sorry, that Fort Worth report, what did they call the Fort Worth Way event that they had the other day?
But it was,
I did not see.
It was really productive.
Wow. I got to go back and check it out. And he's saying, y'all, it's on YouTube, so we all should check it out. Y'all, let me ask a question. Yeah. If all of the incumbents return, what message would that send to Fort Worth? Would it be about voting? Would it be about the fact that the people are so or so unhappy that they just disengage themselves from the process? What would it say?
Well, Kerry, you know, I won't say that they. I won't say that they. Because they're voting, you know what I'm saying? They are voting, so I would think more or less it's man, that's a good question, Kerry. What would it say?
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Now, for one, we do need to get the voter, because Bob, one thing Bob stresses, he stresses a lot, the voter turnout. But if the vote, in order to get the voter turnout better, we got to get more people registered to vote, you know, because I know individuals right now within my immediate circle that I've already made in my mind going forward during this campaign season. If you, your well wishes, your prayers and all that, that's good. But if you're not registered to vote, then to me, you're nothing to me. I mean, as far as me trying to get, I need your vote to get elected. Candidates need your vote to get elected. So if you're just somebody on the sideline saying, well, what's going on? What's this and what's that? First thing I'm going to ask you, for one, are you registered to vote? No. I said, well, what are we don't have a conversation, because it starts there. You got to get registered to vote. Once you get registered to vote, then you can start to, then you got to start getting yourself actively involved in things. You don't have to, like I said, come to council meetings all the time, this, that, and other, but start taking an interest in the political process, because it's more than just voting, you know what I'm saying? So I will begin there. But go ahead, Kay.
Since he mentioned that the last day to register to vote is April 6th. So if you're not registered to vote by April 6th, it's a wrap for this election. So if you're going to be serious, at least know that you got a deadline on when you're going to register. And we know early voting is the 24th. Hold on.
Can I cut in on you there a second?
No. Okay. I was going to tell them early voting is April 24th through May 2nd, and election day is May 6th. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
What I was going to say was, even though if they do piss the if they pass the 6th voting day, we can still encourage people to get registered to vote, because if there's a runoff, we're going to need another set of voters.
That's
you know? Sure. So that would come on up a few months later. So it'd still be, you know, a reason to push that. Okay? Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense. Y'all,
I hope it's a good point of view.
Well,
I hope it's a good point of view anyway. Go ahead. That's all. Go ahead.
You know, I think there will be some runoff, too. I absolutely, because y'all listen. Okay, somebody's got some noise in their background. They would mute that. I think what y'all got to realize is, in all of these races, we must force a runoff in every single race. And some of them, you know, they're uncontested. But the races that are contested, we got to get enough people to the poll to at least force a runoff. You know, I think there's only one race where there's two people, and that's District 10 with Alan Blaylock and one other person. But we got to, in all these other races, we got to force a runoff. No man should be able to do like Crane did and run off in the first hour or so and get as many votes as he did the last time he ran.
I'm gonna go ahead and sing my brother Malik's tune on this in a figurative way. If I don't think it's gonna be every single, I don't think all the incumbents are gonna come back. But if we don't get at least three game changing outsiders in, and if Maddie comes back, I'll just sit there and say, if Maddie comes back, then what we've got is the pressure cooker is gonna keep redlining. And we're going to hear that sound that we used to hear on 60 Minutes, because it's going to be a time bomb. The volatility for the Panther City Revolution is coming.
I hear you. let me say this. That noise has been isolated from your phone, Bowen. If you could mute whatever that noise is.
Carrie, I think what somebody's listening. They're on the phone and they listening on the internet. They can't do both. That's where
okay,
the feedback comes from.
Both. Yeah, it'll give a feedback. Yeah. So you know, yo, this is the thing. If you want change, you got to have a plan. You don't get change by accident. Change. If you want change, change is saying whatever I'm dealing with, whatever I've got on my plate, I don't want that anymore. And so in order to change what's on your plate that you don't want, you got to get up and do something. You got to register to vote. You got to vote. You got to, you know, participate in some of these campaigns, whether that's phone banking, knocking on doors, you know, contributing your money, you know, doing a bake sale, a car wash, you know, something. But you don't get change by accident. And I think so many times I hate a Monday morning quarterback. A Monday morning quarterback wants to tell you the day after everything everybody else should have did. But the Monday morning quarterback didn't do nothing. But he got a whole bunch of advice on what everybody else should have done. I think we should not wake up May 7th. Yeah, the election is May 6th. We should not wake up May 7th. Well, if they had just done this, if I was them, I would have done that. If you didn't get up and do nothing, keep all of that to yourself. Don't nobody want to hear it. We want to hear first ideas today, not on May 7th, about how to change things. Because we have talked to downtown until we are blue in the face, and they don't hear us. It's like they're tone deaf. They don't hear us.
They don't care.
And even though, you know, we've sat by for two years, and I stopped participating in the process. It's like calling down there, talking to those people, and going down there, talking to those people. It's like, why would I do that now? Because I realized no matter what you tell them, the police are always right and you always wrong. They don't care. We don't have a mayor who is in control of this police department. You know, all she tells you is that she's got total confidence in the chief, even though the chief does not have total control of his police department. We got to have a council who ain't afraid of the police. We got to have a mayor who ain't afraid of the police. We got to have strong people downtown. We got to do that. Because if you are okay with police officers falsifying police reports, and that has been shown over and over again, there's a problem with our police department. Because if you lie, you'll steal. If you steal, you'll kill. And so with this no accountability, you know, no oversight board, you know, all of these votes just keep passing by where we're not getting anything that we're asking for. So if we want change, we got to do something. And it starts tomorrow. We don't get any more time to sit down and say, you know, we tired, but we ain't going to do nothing. No. No, we can do something. We really can. We can do what the POA been doing. We can put our money behind these candidates and we can put in office who we want in office. That's what we can do. And by the way, anybody who's taking POA contributions should not be voted for. And I'll tell you why. Let me give you a reason. If you're taking POA donations, either you're going to take them and recuse yourself from every police vote on that council, or you're not gonna take their money. So if you take the money, you recuse yourself on every single vote.
I'll just throw this out there on that note real quick. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. But I know there's one candidate who's unopposed, and he's all about that crew. That's District 2.
Okay, that's Flores. Yeah. Because he's already taken money.
Is.
Yeah.
And Crane gonna take some too, so you know I believe Chris Nettles will not take the POA, but we shall see. But I think we got to start saying it does not make sense that Crane can recuse himself and Jerry can recuse himself if it's dealing with a nonprofit, but you can take POA donations and not recuse yourself from a police vote. That makes zero sense.
I was just go back to what you say. The city is complicit in all of this because, and I think the onus is on the fact that, you know, it's on record. You mentioned this in a previous discussion. You say how
they do not pay out lawsuits. The percentage of considering all of the police misdealings and practices and abuses that they do against the communities, you know, the various communities and people,
mm-hmm.
the city can hang its hat on that we don't pay out lawsuits. So I think I would be one openly, listen, just get ready. I'm going to utilize that public speaking space. Whatever forms of discussions we get invited to, I'm going to use that to my advantage. If I don't do nothing else, these people are going to hear my mouth, but they're going to hear it in a more precise, and it's going to be more tactful. And I'm going to put some thoughts in some people's minds, because think about this, Kerry. If they're not paying out lawsuits, I'm going to encourage people. If you have any issues with law enforcement, get a lawyer. Get a lawyer, because think about this. Let the lawyer figure out if there's a lawsuit. Don't you sit there and say it ain't a lawsuit. Well, this police just hit me upside my head, but I'm gonna just excuse. No. Get a lawyer and let the lawyer be the lawyer, and then tell your lawyer, aim high. I mean, shoot for the stars on a settlement amount. Trust me. The city don't want the bad, what you call it, the bad publicity. You know what I'm saying? But I think that plays a part in too.
Adrian, can I ask you? Do you know who? I've been through this. This is part of my whole. This is part of what got me heavy duty into what's going on in Fort Worth and Tarrant County. Do you know a lawyer that is True Grit Tarrant County?
That part.
That's True Grit. I have an attorney friend. That, but I don't know if he, when you say True Grit, somebody is willing to go up against the establishment.
Because I'm telling you, it's bad. That's mm-hmm. what we got with Manuel Mata going on in this county. We've even got Dallas County in it now, and they're doing better. I mean, we got an attorney out of Dallas County, but that's how we get, look at what happened with Aaron Dean. I mean, look at what's happened with, I mean, we've seen these things go on, prosecutors, defense attorneys. We got people, how much money could Jacqueline Craig, how many of these victims should have got paid at least $500,000? At least $500,000. And nobody's standing up.
Let me say this. Bob Willoughby, myself, I heard Tina James on a live today, and others have complained about police falsifying police reports. That's got to stop in this city. And if we got to file mm-hmm. lawsuits on that until the city stops being complicit with bad officers, I think we need to do that. But it should not be a culture where police are falsifying these police reports. If you tell me, if you lie on a simple matter, then you will lie on a murder. So it's not safe for us to be okay. With them falsifying police report.
Hey, Kerry.
Period. Yes, sir.
If, like he was saying, though, like he was asking, too, if we could find a lawyer, I think we could do like a Class A lawsuit mm-hmm. with everybody together on that, because they are falsifying it, and you have enough people to do a Class A, I believe. I'm not a mm-hmm. legal-minded, but I think that's what they call it when you have a group together. But just finding an attorney is almost impossible. And also, I want to throw out one other thing here. I met with George today. He wanted to give me some books before he kind of, I think he's about through with downtown and everything, and he gave me these books on the POA. And there's some very interesting information on how their organization's done and all that kind of stuff. You've got the chapters. This is some real stuff. So if anybody's interested in wanting to know more about the POA, I told George I'd put it out there, and I'd be glad to share. I've got a plate full of stuff right now. I thought maybe I might look at them later, but if anybody's interested, let me know.
I bet you got some pictures of some white dunce hats in that stuff, too.
I don't know what all he's got in there. I just know some very interesting and real stuff in these books. And they're the rules, the numbers, the chapters, all that kind of good stuff in there. He's got all the footnotes. Just if anybody's out there, I said, I'll put the word out there. Anybody's interested and got the time and wants to study about the POA more that can help us in that field.
Hey.
I mean, like I said, I got a plate full. Carrie's got – well, I've just got plate full of what we're doing. But if anybody else has got some free time that's interested in it, you know, that it interests them, I got the books.
Hey, Bob, you just –
go ahead,
real quick, Bob, you just
you just stated that George is possibly he's just getting what was that statement you said? George is what now with the council with the city?
Oh, he's through it. He's pretty well getting through it going down there. George is a bit older than
Okay. I just brought that point up to say this. If we're starting to lose people who were in the fight, you know, and it, you know, it's just a small portion of us. Yeah, it's alarming. Mm-hmm. We gotta ramp it up because we can't afford to lose any. We can't afford to lose any voices. So that to me, that's like a, oh, that's a sting. You know, that's a stinger. You know what I'm
saying?
Well,
it's not a surprise though, Adrian. His agent, not a surprise, but he did good for us to have anybody because we're so weak.
No. What I'm saying is
good though.
No, what I'm saying is that's encouraging me even more to even just to put to bring try to get more people in. That's what I'm saying. So
okay.
I'm encouraged.
Yeah, because you got
to
replace
it's a thing,
yeah.
But it's a thing, but it's encouraging. It's lighting a more vigorous fire under me to try to get more people involved.
Yeah,
Hey Bob, I was going to ask you. Bob, can I ask you a question? Bob, I'm going to ask you a question on the side. Are you connected with the Willoughby House some way?
We got to go back to the phone line.
Okay, we'll go from the Willoughby House. I don't know anything about it, but if I got any money for me, let me know.
Well, I work for the TJJD, and they have a halfway house, a pre-release halfway house that we use. I've worked there before on assignments, but I was just wondering if that was somebody related to you because it's spelled the same way, Willoughby House.
Really?
It's over on the west side, yeah.
I got a lot of siblings out there I don't know about, so I'll let her get back to the phone. No, I don't know anything about it, but I may check that out, though. Thank you.
Okay, 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, sister. Hey, good evening, everybody. Good evening. Good conversation. Hey, Bob, send me the information on that POA, brother. This is Brother Malik. Mm-hmm. I ain't scared, so I got the juice behind me, so, you know, I don't fold for nothing. I done been up against it many times, so we ready. Trust and believe, we ready.
Let Carrie know how I get stuff to you, okay? Off the air and everything. You let Carrie know how I get stuff to you. That's anybody out there. Carrie, don't mind me putting that on her back.
And ain't no secret. I got some old officers that, you know, that's Afro-American that was there some of the first black police officers that was in the force. And I know what was going on. I know for a fact what was going on.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this election, Malik?
It shows the attitude of the city, really, to tell you the truth. We got three uncontested people. That means people are not, I guess, not caring or feel like they're not effective on the moves. The people that choose to run, I think District 11 is a monstrosity. I don't know why didn't nobody file up under the gerrymandering act for that crap when they bluntly said, hey, we're going to create this district for Hispanics. I thought that was absurd. But hopefully the people who are running do their best work. I mean, I think we as a group should get behind what's best, what's the best candidate to make strong change.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to back Adrian?
Is he what?
Beg your pardon?
Are you going to back Adrian?
Adrian ain't show me his report card. I can't back nobody that's not got a revolutionary mind. So you got to have a revolutionary mindset. I know,
That's what I said.
We need a city councilman. If you go over there and look at that city councilman from Flint, Michigan, that's the type of city councilman we need in this city.
Yeah.
If you ain't scared to be vocal and do things as right as either right and wrong with that brother. Either you're going to be on the right side or you're going to be on the wrong side. He ain't scared to call it out. You know, I can't have nobody supporting nobody that's going to fold, you know, and go along and get along. Nah, I can't
I've been following Flint for a minute. I even got a page up about Flint, Michigan, and have had it up for years since the water crisis. That guy you're referring to, he's been on that council for a really long time. He didn't just get that backbone. He grew that backbone. But he's been on the council, the tall one with the really heavy voice. He's been on that city council for a really long time. He really has. For years. Yeah. So I'm very familiar with Flint's seduction shows on him. And trust me, he's been there for a minute. And you know, I'm not asking anybody to be a revolutionary because, listen, for somebody who's been outspoken for years, it comes at a price. But I'm asking for somebody who gets on the council and is not thinking as voting as a unit, is thinking as voting individually based on their convictions and based on what they know the will of the people is. That's what we need. We need strong people willing to do that. And I think right now, it's a whole lot of compromising going on up there. And I don't see enough of, but my constituents would want me to do this, or my constituents, I don't see those votes because, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it's all this pressure that we don't know anything about. In some kind of way, they all come in there, and when they sit on the dais, they've already decided what they're going to do.
Are they stealing? All of them a bunch of thieves. Your first order of business as a council person, woman, lady, whatever, is your first order of business is your district. That's the number one thing on the charter is your district. These cats get into these bureaucratic way of thinking, getting in on these boards and doing these backdoor favors for these developers and, you know, XYZ, you know, setting tax abatements and all that stuff. So quite naturally, when you get caught up in that type of stuff, how do they have any of your concerns that you reside in that particular district if they are on the table talking about something other than benefiting themselves?
Well, let me jump in right there. Let's just talk about the issue of short-term rentals. That divided his whole city over short-term rentals. Why would the council take it upon themselves to do the vote, like Adrian said, and not let the people have that vote?
Well, we had the people winning. We should have went in petition and forced their hand. That's what we're not doing. We can sit back here and talk about it, but if we're not going to follow suit and do the things to force their hand, to put it on the ballot, they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
To me, in my opinion, once you put it on the ballot, whatever decision is made at the box, meaning forcing you to get off your butt and get to the polls and decide whether or not you want short-term rentals in your neighborhood or not, and if you don't get to the polls and vote, then you don't get no say in it. But just to let the council make that decision, it makes no sense. It completely divides the city.
Well, when there's a class action lawsuit, going to get hit there because what it is, really, it's almost a twofold court. You know what I'm saying? But what they looking is, oh, we could tax short term rental, so it's beneficial that I could tax you on your private property on how to use and where the city say y'all getting by from a sales tax that's not implemented and y'all making money without paying taxes on the short-term rental.
You know what? A lot of those communities who didn't want those short-term rentals, they wasn't coming from the communities that's considered less. They were coming from those communities that were considered, you know, the upper echelon, you know, District 3s and District 9, you know.
District
9, those
people, yeah,
those people were making the most noise, telling them people, hey, they're telling them, listen, we don't want that over here. Y'all, we want our neighborhoods quiet. We like the peacefulness of, you know, this, that, or the other. But again, here they go. Here they go, thumbing their noses up. And the short-term rental owners or the people who were advocating for it, oh, that one woman, she was good. She kept coming back, hitting them with the law. She hitting them with the
exactly.
with the fact, let them know, hey, come on, try us if you want to. Basically, let them know, try us if you want to. But really, like Malik is saying, the people, you'll be holding to the constituents first. You are beholden to your constituents above all else. And if they're saying they don't want it, then
these folks got to figure out, they got to do something else. But, again, you know, some going to get votes for this because they voted, or they're going to get some money into their little coffers. They're going to get some money into their little coffers or whatever, and then they're going to lose some votes because those people in those communities who were against it, trust me, they're not going to forget it. They're not going to forget it.
Well, I ain't trying to be funny, but they trying to be so slick. They better watch this county judge.
Can I sing my last blast for tonight real quick?
Yes, sir.
I want to try to give you a little perspective on the revolutionary idea, Carrie. And somebody posted something today about another killing that happened in Louisiana, another cop killing. And I'm not going to say who it is, but I posted a comment, and I'm not trying to make nobody feel uncomfortable. I'm just trying to be as objective as I can be, but I'm going to read what I posted. It said, I am at the point where I have to say this bullshit going on with police and the criminal justice system is becoming worse than it was during the days of slavery and Jim Crow. I'm sick of it, and the reason I say that is because of the smokescreen, denialism, controlled narrative, and fraudulent excuses we routinely get from the media and the government when we are dealing with these scenarios. Just to be honest, in 2023, we are experiencing an Emmett Till scenario somewhere in the United States on a weekly basis now. I believe that common class people as a community have actually bridged the racial divide. The problem is that the cracker mentality and the culture of white supremacy is still morbidly entrenched in the minds of the establishment, elites, media, and politics, Democrat and Republican. We literally have legions of shameless, deceitful demon esquires and jesters lording over us from their ivory towers of corrupt justice. And what we've seen happen in Memphis with Tyre Nichols' murder tells us that this issue is no longer a problem of delineated by a racial color line. We need to stop focusing on black and white and start building a civil consensus and spiritual solidarity that recognizes this battle is about good and evil, truth and lies, and love and hate. The people in power don't care about anything except the color of money. So I say, I'm going to be done. I got two more sentences. So I say it's time that we fix this problem just like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 21. It's time to flip the tables at the temple and stop eating the stale cake they are feeding us with phony master narratives.
Well, my answer to that, can I tell you what my answer to that would be? My answer to that would be every single candidate needs to have on their platform their solution to police reform. And I also think that every single candidate, in my opinion, that I'm voting for, needs to be thinking about how we can get a citizens oversight board or citizens review board. So anybody that I'm looking to support, if they don't have that in their portfolio for while they're running, I probably won't be voting for them.
Carrie, real quick, as a candidate, we already had one. What I would do, we gonna put it back on the table. We gonna vote the right way. We don't have to redo it because the recommendations have already been made. I'm not going to step on it. We're not going to start the process over. We had a race and culture task force made up of people of the communities, collective communities, who put then you pay for a police monitor, and even she said it. She said it's needed. She even said it. Then you had the 97-page report. How much more proof in the pudding do you need? But y'all want to vote this way. Okay, we're going to put it back on the table. Let's put it back on the table.
They get an F on the report card, and then that man got a nerve to come off in there and ask for some more money.
Yeah.
We need at least six candidates who believe in police reform and who believe that we need to put a citizens review board in place. That's what we need. So when you vote, think about your candidate and whether or not they think like that. Because if you don't, we're going to have a problem. just period. Just across the board, it's always going to be an issue with police and community until we get a board in place that can listen to some of these issues and realize that there needs to be some changes in our police department. We need better. I said this before. I'd rather have 10 police officers across this whole big old city than have 2010 and 2,000 of them be bad. I really would. I believe we can go back to community policing and 10 good ones, and we'll be good. Okay, somebody's still listening via the computer. You can't do that because you have a feedback.
I'm gonna end with this one. Look here. Mm-hmm. So you won't forget when you get off. If anybody interested on the line, when you go to YouTube tonight, all you have to do is type in the Fort Worth Way. You're gonna pull up the most recent discussion. The Fort Worth Way. Just go to YouTube, type that in. Hey, it's amazing, Carrie. We want people to be concerned about everyday citizens' crime. You know, everyday people's crime, but y'all don't want us to be concerned about law enforcement's crime. What's the hypocrisy? The hypocrisy. Wow.
It is. And, you know, and the thing is, they're so good at, you know, let me say it like that, because I still believe in the Zion bill needs to be passed. When you look at law enforcement, if they want to snatch an 8-year-old from the scene and make him testify, but they won't testify against each other, they won't stop one from hurting an innocent person, come on, y'all, that is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. How dare you make me tell my statement or make an 8-year-old tell his statement, but you won't tell Darch what you saw? You want to lie about your body camera. You want to lie about everything that happened that night. But you want an 8-year-old to tell you what he remembered after he was traumatized. I mean, yeah, we got to do better. We got to have a citizen's review board. Look at something. Yeah, we got to do better. Is what?
I'll be straight up. Zion shouldn't have been no part of that conversation. If we had police with integrity, Zion wouldn't have been no part of that conversation. He could have been stayed a kid, as traumatizing it was for him to go through that experience. But Zion was a part of that
because
they wanted to obfuscate the truth.
They put a target on that
boy. And truth and lies and love and hate.
Wow.
They put a target on that young man back. That's what they did.
Y'all, we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he back. I agree with you. Y'all, listen, we're going to talk about who's in these races as of 5 o'clock this evening. In the mayor's race, I believe I've spoken with Chris Rector via inbox on Facebook, and he told me that he is not going to be in this race, and I don't think he put his paperwork in to be on the ballot either. But you got Ken Bowen Jr. In the mayor's race, Allison Kennedy, Jennifer Castillo, Maddie Parker, and Adrian Devine Smith. In District 2, as of right now, as of 5 o'clock, they have not updated the system, but it shows Carlos Flores is the incumbent, and he's uncontested. In District 3, we got Michael Crane. He's the incumbent, and he's uncontested. In District 4, you got Teresa Ramirez-Gonzalez and Charles Lowersdorf. In 4. In District 5, you got William McKinney Jackson, Geraldo Sanchez Corona, Gina Bivens, the incumbent, and Bob Willoughby. In District 6, you have Atalia Dela Cruz, Jared Williams, the incumbent, and Tanya Carter. In District 7, you got Jason Ellis, Caleb Backholm, and Macy Teal. In District 8, Chris Nettle is the incumbent, and he is uncontested. District 9, we have Jason Pina, Elizabeth Beck, Chris Reed, and Pamela Boggess. In District 10,
hey,
Alan Blaylock. Okay, let me finish. District 10, Alan Blaylock and Brandon Jones. District 11, you got Jeanette Martinez, Rick Heron, Tara Maldonado Wilson. I saw today that Crystal Galvin withdrew. If you look at that paperwork on the website, she withdrew for whatever reason. Christopher Johnson, Ricardo Avidia, and I spoke to Antonio Twin Harris, who said he did put in his paperwork this evening to be an 11. So that's what we have. And you were saying what, Chris?
So real quick, I think I'm curious about, because I'm trying to feel it out, is the Pamela Boggess thing. I mean, where are we going? I know she ran for judge and didn't make it. I know she's got a good resume. you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious about I can't go for somebody who's come from this criminal justice system, whether they're prosecutor
right.
or
she's
or
been a prosecutor and she's a criminal attorney right now, correct?
Yeah, and so I think the pressure that needs to be put on her is to come online with what we talk about in this group about how are you going to deal with false reports? With the police? Are you going to be – what front are you coming from? Because I think she's in the gray area there, you know,
all
and
right,
I can't
so,
go
yeah.
gray.
Okay. Right. Listen, y'all, we got to get out of here. We want to thank you all for listening tonight, the audience. We appreciate you each and every week. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor about the show. Also, follow us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called Let's Talk Fort Worth. Follow us there. Also, if you're running a campaign, consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We will get your message out there for sure. Also, consider donating to the show. Listen, we do good work over here. Listen. Try to improve it. And we want to do more. We want to take this race, these races to the next level this election season, and we want you to help us do that with your donations. Also, y'all, listen, research a candidate. Do your due diligence. Know who you're voting for. Make sure that they, you know, provide your resume. If they gonna lie to you, make them lie to you, but at least do your due diligence. To know that what they promised us was they're going to do this, and that. Don't just let them ride in there because you're an incumbent. Don't just let them ride in there because they look good. Make sure that they got something behind them that's going to be good for this council. So I tell you, if you haven't registered to vote, register. And then also, once you find a good candidate, work their campaign. Thirdly, y'all, listen. Give, if it's just a little bit, if it's just $5, give $5 to a good candidate. And on May 6th, make sure to vote. All right, y'all, until next Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., I'll see you then. Good night.